for NPR Music and connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. We're here at the Black Cat in Washington, D.C. with members of the Fleet Foxes taking the stage and then leaving the stage and then taking the stage again. Judging from tonight's soundcheck, we're all in for an incredibly wonderful treat tonight. Robin Becknell sitting up on a stool with a funny knit cap. And now that the Fleet Foxes have walked up on stage again, not much cheering because this is the third time they've done it. But as soon as that house music dies, I think you'll hear this crowd. Here we go. Look forward to a great show. The Fleet Foxes on All Songs Considered.
Can you get the lights down a little bit? Just a touch. Thanks.
Yeah. Daisy just drops in the river to be lost.
Thanks so much. This is a staggering number of people to me. Staggering. Staggered. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, you guys. I'm a little bit under the weather, but this is the first. I've been sick since. I know, I was so sick last time. I was way sicker last time I was here. Last time we were here than this time. But. Oh, thanks. Well, today is the first day that I feel a little better on stage. Every other day, every day since Spaceland in LA, we've just been like conning people out of their money. Just wholesale deception and disappointment. Yeah, you're only getting half conned tonight.
This cable's. This cable. Oh, now you gotta talk more, Robin. Check.
Following the pack, all swallowed in their coats, with scarves of red tied round their throats to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round and there you go, and Michael, you'd fall and turn the white snow red as strawberries in summertime. Scarves of red tied round their throats to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round and there you go, and Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as strawberries in summertime.
So much, yes.
Yeah.
shit.
Switching out a cable really fast. Quick cable change. It won't take long. I'll just sit here.
What are you guys doing tonight? Very cool. Very cool.
Check, check. Check. Check, check.
Princess Josh is very particular about his microphones.
Yeah.
More of me.
She left a week too long. Your protector's coming home. Keep your secrets with you, girl. Safe from the outside world. You walk along the street. Your head caught in a waking dream. Your protector's coming home. Come. Thank you. Thanks. Man. So like, what's it? Is it? Do you? So the people in the very back. Do you feel like you're watching people watching a show? Like, that's so far away. This place is huge. It's crazy.
Can we get a little shout back there? What's going on? Hello? I see you. There you go. Whoa, a wave almost started, actually. That would be cool.
Man. I'm pretty shy tonight, because chances are there are a lot of you that maybe I went to high school with. Anybody go to Richard Montgomery High School? Yeah, so you guys know, you guys have my number pretty good.
Joshua Tillman.
Like, you big faker.
President of the bowling league.
You big faker. Yeah. Oh, shit. Montrose. That was another one.
What's yeah. Walter Johnson? High school? Any Kirkland Junior High alumni? Lake Washington High? Anybody? I was on the NLA. NAL. NAL? Anyone NAL? National Academic League. It was the debate team. Pretty cool. Allie Redding? Did someone just say Allie Redding? All right. I know her. Spider-Man.
One, two.
Thank you.
Until like 5 or 6 a.m. I will.
Crayon angel songs are slightly out of tune, but I'm sure I'm not to blame. Nothing's happened, but I think it will soon, so I'll sit here waiting for God and a train to the astral plane. Magic rings I made have turned my finger green, and my mystic roses die. Guess reality is not as it seems, so I'll sit here waiting for truth and arrive to the other side. Darkness softly screams. Holy visions disappear from my view, but the angels come back and laugh in my dream. I wonder what it means. Ooh. By the river bridge, a cradle floating beside me. In the widest water on the banks against the stones, you will lift his body from the shore and bring him home. Oliver James washed in the rain. Oliver James washed in the rain, no longer. On the kitchen table that your grandfather did make, you in your delicate way will slowly clean his face, and you will remember an innocent and anxious mother full of anxious love. Oliver James Ward.
Would you guys help me in thanking the Duchess and the Duke tonight?
Thanks for your continued patience.
Oh,
Last time I was at this club, I was home for Christmas like 3 years ago, and I left my ID in Seattle for some reason. I think it involved me playing darts the night before, which I've never done before, and required my ID. So I was here without an ID at this club, and they X'd me up. And I went home, and I looked like the weirdest hardcore dude ever. People were just looking at me like, "You like Gorilla Biscuits, hippie?" Do people not listen to hardcore here anymore? Did I miss something?
I was curious about
you
that.
Didn't get that joke? Come on. Wow.
Because the X indicates straight edge.
Too many people here that I beat up in high school. They're not going to laugh at my jokes. Just kidding. Again.
Hey, I got one more thank you, but it's a two-parter. I'd like to thank the house sound guys who are right over here, and our sound guy, Jared Hankins, who's back there, who we love.
And NPR.
Yeah, a three-parter. Thanks, NPR.
Radiolab. Recommend Radiolab. I like that one. Good one. All right, straight into it.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Mm-hmm.
My brother, where do you intend to go tonight? I heard that you missed your connecting flight to the Blue Ridge Mountains over near Tennessee. You're ever welcome with me anytime you like. Let's drive to the countryside, leave behind some green-eyed lookalikes, so no one gets worried, no. So no one gets worried, no. But Sean, don't get careless, I'm sure it'll be fine. I love you, I love you, older brother of mine.
Fleet Foxes, a gorgeous set. Despite Robin Pecknold's not feeling completely well, it's one of the reasons you heard a lot of silence between the tunes as he drank and drank either water or tea between the songs. He still sure sounded good to me, and so did this whole band. And he's back, looking fairly animated. Robin Pecknold without his band, nodding, smiling, and drinking some more water. Let's hear what he has to sing.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
So sweet. Oh, got it.
Can't do that one by myself. Okay, see how this goes.
Beautiful way to end. Just a gorgeous night of music from Fleet Foxes here at the Black Cat in Washington, D.C. I was just charmed by this band. They have a beautiful aesthetic. Even in a big black box, a room like this, it's transforming. Photographs of the show will be online for you to see by Joel Jujicin. Beautiful sound, my friend. Thank you. I was just congratulating the sound guy who did a magnificent job on the sound. More concerts coming up soon. We'll announce them. Our newsletter is the best way to find out about them. Sign up to the All Songs Considered newsletter. I'm Bob Boylan here at the Black Cat. It's Sean Phillips and Kevin Maynard. Connor McKay is our intern. Thank you. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. Tell me your name, because I forgot your name.
Casey Westcott.
And Casey, what instrument do you play in Fleet Foxes?
I play keyboards, mandolin, and sing. But generally, we're throwing different instruments around, so it's sort of a free-for-all.
And I'm here in a dressing room at the Black Cat.
Yes.
And I've never heard you guys perform yet, so I'm really interested in doing that. One of the things that strikes me when I hear your music, because I quite love the album and the EP that just came before.
Thanks.
The biggest challenge for a band, especially a band that plays a gazillion different clubs, is to be able to hear one another on stage. And that's nowhere more important than music that's based in the voice.
Yeah.
So how's it been?
There's definitely been a learning curve. And, you know, one of the main things is we try to play with low stage volumes. We're playing on a myriad of different types of PAs. You know, sometimes, you know, we have a monitor to ourselves, sometimes we don't. So a lot of it is also just playing physically close to one another so that we can actually,
as we are
when we're rehearsing or when we're, you know, singing, you know, in the van or wherever. So to keep it, you know, in close proximity as possible, I think that, you know, generally will help. But it's a learning curve. And we did bring a sound guy out who's been doing amazing stuff with us, just as far as, you know, making sure the monitors are tuned correctly and stuff. So.
Well, that's two keys. One is having a person who knows your sound, and the other is that low level on stage, which for most bands it's the guitarist that rules the volume, right? But you guys are keeping the guitar playing leveled.
A lot of it also is the orchestration of the song. If you keep it as sparse as possible and only having essential elements, it's easier to sort of have certain focuses to sort of lead the ear and to not overwhelm the ear with too much at once and to sort of pace through the density of, you know, the sound. I think from a compositional or orchestrational perspective, that's important, and that's also a way that you can naturally sort of curb problems associated with, you know, loud sounds or really needing to hear vocals, you know, so that, you know, generally you make space for vocals and stuff like that. So
the idea that you come to a sound that's spare and just the necessary elements are in there, how did you come to that sound? I mean, you all put out a sort of a handmade thing a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I take it you guys are not terribly proud of that, and your sound has changed, or my.
I mean, it's interesting because I started playing with Robin and Sky in 2006, and they had been playing together much longer. And Christian, who plays bass and sings, I'd known him since I was 15, and Josh, I had played with in his own music, and so there was such a rate of change musically because all of these people are sort of coming together and bringing their contribution. And so a lot of it had to do with, you know, just the bonds as people and the development musically that sort of led to sort of us with sensibilities that are different than what we had in the past.
So tell me what you might have tossed off and what you feel like, or am I just phrasing it all wrong?
I guess at a general level we're trying to, you know, reflect who we are via music and communicate that. And if you're changing a lot, there's no way to really quantify the change. It might not be progress, you know what I'm saying, but it is change. So I think just time and playing music so much, you know, so many hours a day, you your thoughts turned in different directions, I guess.
Do you think that you've gone or move in a direction that's not so verse-chorus-y, verse-chorus? Your stuff, when I listen to it, what I think might happen, first couple of listens through, rarely does happen.
Yeah. I think that there's a desire to... I think that we're all attracted to... different song forms, and I think that that's definitely sort of a parameter that we like to modulate when we're doing music. But a lot of it, generally, when we're starting, there's no one way that we approach the music. Every song is sort of a different animal, and we treat it like that. And generally, all of what we do is sort of self-referential based on that melody that Robin will bring, or the chords, or so I guess to that extent, it's tough to say.
So what are you singing in the van?
It depends. I mean,
they're long trips. You're it's quite a tour, right?
Yeah, we're in the van quite a bit this tour, at least 6 hours a day, I'd say. And to be honest, we haven't been listening to music very much, but we're always goofing off, and so we're always singing funny things that we have stuck in our head that are songs that you love to hate, sort of thing, or something that you'll see on the television that you think is absolutely hilarious, or a jingle, and so we're goofing off a lot like that. But we definitely, we're playing so much, and we're in such close quarters that the singing is just sort of emergent, given who we all are together.
Do you each have a certain part of the harmony that you're always taking? And when I'm listening to the band, who would I know who's who? How would I know?
It would depend on the song. There's some songs where the desire is to not have a lead singer, and there's some where people are sort of backing up, Robin. There's a couple songs like Quiet Houses where, we're singing all at the same volume, and the texture, or the musical idea is that it's sort of a harmonic musical idea that's going through. So it depends. At the same time, certain people have certain musical strengths. Like Christian can sing really high notes and have them still sound very strong. And so we definitely try to exploit certain characteristics of each other's voices when we're writing and arranging the harmonies.
It's kind of cool to be in a band. You guys played Europe, and you're saying to me earlier that you were surprised at people hearing and knowing your music.
Yeah, it is. It's always surprising. Playing music as since I was a kid, and releasing records and touring, sometimes you're playing music that people have a very allergic reaction to, and you never take for granted when somebody takes the time, let alone the gas money, to see us at this point. All of that stuff is overwhelming, because time is short, and people are busy. So it's really amazing when people actually come to the shows and know the songs. And it is overwhelming.
There's something amazingly comforting about hearing your songs. I guess I've only listened to the record 4 or 5 times, and I've yet to sink my teeth into what's going on beneath, what's going on in the words.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys writing about?
Well, Robin...
And is it as comfy and pretty in the underbelly?
I don't think so, no. I wouldn't want to speak for Robin. In general, I think a lot of the songs are coming from, a sort of personal place. Sometimes, he may, blend that with, certain, imagery that sort of may reflect, a certain experience of his. But that's the outside looking in. I couldn't totally speak for him.
Can you tell, do you know what some of the songs are about, or are they mysteries to you, having sung them?
Some of them, like Blue Ridge Mountain is a story about, it's a kind of a loose narrative, story regarding his brother and sort of going out to their grandfather's house, that's sort of like a family sort of retreat, and you know, there's so there's that, but then there's some that are you know, I guess less clear, you know, so it just depends. But
more poetic, more imagery.
Yeah, I think and also it's when somebody else is writing lyrics, there's just, I think, an inherent like respect I have for it, and I don't try to push generally, like, you know, let me get into your head and tell me what this is, because I think that what the lyrics are the presentation of the idea. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if they're concrete, or if they're, you know, deliberately, you know, a little more less transparent, then, you know, that's the purpose, I guess. You know, so
do you have to run upstairs in a minute?
Oh, I think I've got a little bit of time. Generally, we do it assembly line style, one by one, and keyboards and mandolin generally come a little bit later. But we all vocal check at the very end. So uh-huh.
I sort of figured that somebody, or more than somebody, in this group had a musical family, or a family that that music was the centerpiece of, because that's sort of how I feel when I hear your stuff.
Yeah, Robin's dad is a very accomplished musician, and a luthier as well. And so they're very much a musical family. Christian and I, we're not coming from musical families at all. And I think that for us, that was the sort of motivation to get into music, because it, you know, we felt a yearning. So it's interesting, between the five of us, it's pretty much a bell curve of you know, experience, and you know, just a whole continuum, you know, different sort of experiences and, you know, perspectives. But Robin's, yeah, I mean, his dad sometimes will come in, or we'll be working on stuff and just playing around, and he'll just hop on, you know, a mandolin or any instrument, and he can, you know, he plays tastefully. It's, I mean, he's a great player, you know.
Huh. So the apple didn't fall too far from the
not really, no, case. No. It's, I mean, it's really amazing, you know, just getting to know them, and, you know, hanging out with them on, you know, holidays or whatever. It's just, there's just music in the air, you know. I mean, the records, you know, that he has in his collection, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that before. Let me put it on.
Do you think that kind of music, that folky music that might have been around in the early 70s is part of what wraps Robin's, I mean, something that he feels comfortable in?
Yeah, I think, you know, listening to older music is an interesting thing. It's, in general, like, when you're writing music, I think it's important to only find inspiration and not so much influence, because ultimately, you know, you're trying to communicate yourself. And sometimes I feel if you're sort of, you know, appropriating older music, you know, with the intention of sounding like that, it's sort of like, you know, different time periods to me, like when you're music, you know, when you're talking about music, are like different dialects. And I think that it doesn't make sense to communicate in a language that isn't your own.
A friend of mine, Tom Manoff, he says that he calls music a living language. And I think that's sort of the nail on the head that you're hitting there, where the idea of it changes, it evolves, but there's so many connections between it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hear that in your stuff, but then again, I've never heard your music before,
yeah,
you know,
and
if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
It's fresh, and yet it feels familiar.
And that's also sort of, I think, you know, our desire to mainly focus on the human voice, because, you know, it is, you know, for humans and a lot of animals, like, the primary mechanism of communication, you know, and, you know, everybody finds the human voice pleasing.
I think when you look at a painting, the first thing people look at are the eyes, and when you hear music, the first thing I think you're attracted to is a voice.
Really, really.
I mean, that's for me, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So, thanks. I'm starting to hear voices upstairs.
Yeah.
It might be time to do
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate this a lot.